Hey there, I'm Matt Walker, the host of the Choir Director Corner podcast. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I'm so excited you are here. Before we dive in, I want to tell you about a one-of-a-kind online resource for choir directors, and it's called the Choir Director Corner Community Membership. This membership was designed to give you the training, the resources, the support, and the community you need to be successful in your teaching. Inside the membership, you'll find online courses, which will help you polish your current skills, as well as learn some new strategies and techniques, a PDF resource library with over 50 PDFs and Google Docs that you can use in your daily teaching and workflows, monthly collaboration calls where you can ask questions, get feedback, and collaborate with choir directors just like you, and access to our recommended repertoire videos and repertoire lists. There's even a private Facebook group, which gives you another place online to collaborate with other choir directors and ask questions. Being a choir director doesn't have to be a DIY endeavor. It's so much better when it's done together. So head on over to choirdirectorcorner.com/membership and join us in the Choir Director Corner community membership. There's even a 7-day free trial where you can get inside the membership and check it out. Again, that's choirdirectorcorner.com/membership. All right, on with today's episode. And hello, my friends. Welcome to the Choir Director Corner podcast. My name is Matt Walker. I am your host. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining me for today's episode. I'm so excited that you are here, and I'm so excited to be sharing this episode about 9 tips for getting the singers in your choir to buy in. So if you've been following the podcast, last week's episode was all about how to get singers to sing out. And one of those solutions was to get your singers invested in what you were doing, and specifically invested in the music that you are doing by giving them some input on your repertoire. And it reminded me of a coaching call I had a while back with a fellow choir director, a middle school, high school choir director, and they happened to be in the first year of their teaching position, and they were facing a lot of challenges in that position, and we talked a lot about buy-in and how to get buy-in with the singers in your choir. And I think a lot of these apply to no matter where you are in your teaching career. Certainly if you are a new teacher in a new position, but I think a lot of these help teachers whether you're in your first year or whether you are in your 30th year. What are some of the things that you can do to sort of motivate, or inspire your singers to be inspire themselves to buy into the things that you are doing, whether that's logistical or procedural things in your program, or whether that's simply in some of the music that you're choosing, right? So for this teacher, some of the challenges that it was facing, it was really affecting the choir's performance. And so one of his challenges was, yes, getting his singers to sing out, but it was also dealing with just the general atmosphere and attitude of the choir. There was just a certain level of negativity there that he was just not comfortable with. And I've been in that exact position in my teaching career as well, specifically when I was in a new position. And so we talked at length about a lot of the same issues that this director was facing and how he might go about tackling these different challenges. And so in today's podcast, I'm going to share with you 9 tips for getting your singers in your choir to buy in. And these were the things that he and I talked about in this coaching call. So tip number 1, keeping changes to a minimum. Now, this is specific to being a teacher in a new position, right? I compare starting a new teaching job to getting married. And I was talking to a good friend of mine who had been married for a number of years, and I was just kind of asking him about the whole like planning process and like the day of, like, what is it like? What should I expect? And his advice was this. He said, technically you have veto power, but be extremely careful in exercising that power. And he was exactly right. He's like, basically was saying, you know, let your wife to be have whatever she wants, unless you absolutely, positively hate something, just can't in any way, shape, or form live with it. Then you sort of invoke that veto power. Then you step in. Everything else, you just kind of let it go, right? And this would be my advice to choir directors in a new position. Do not make any major changes unless there is just something you absolutely, positively hate. Because if you do go into this new position and you do start making changes, your singers are going to start to see that as a slight to the previous choir director, and also in a way sort of disrespecting their work that they did with that person. No matter what type of situation you're walking into, positive or negative, there are bound to be at least a few singers that enjoyed their experience with that previous director, right? These singers are still loyal to that person. And they're going to be pretty upset that you are now leading the choir. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It just happens, you just happen to be new, right? Has very little to do with you personally. They are just looking for a reason to be negative and to really make your life difficult. So because of this, my advice to teachers in a new position, whether you're year one or you're year 20, keep those changes to a minimum. But remember, yes, you do have veto power. Use it extremely carefully. Tip number two in getting your singers to buy in is to simply build relationships. You know, the old saying goes, they won't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think in what we do, that is very true. You may have grand designs of walking into your position, thinking about the fantastic music that you're going to create, right? But none of that is going to happen if you don't first build relationships with your singers. In order for singers to participate and have a positive impact on the ensemble, they need to feel like they're in a safe, encouraging, supportive environment. They need to trust you as the director, and they need to trust the other singers in the ensemble. And the issue with that really is that that trust is not going to happen overnight, right? We want everything to happen now, you know, instant gratification. And this is something that is going to take time. What will help is finding ways to show your singers that you are interested in more than them as just, you know, music-making robots, right? If you have the time, going and attending school events, or even just striking up conversations as students enter the room before rehearsal or on their way out, right? These things help you to start to build deeper relationships with your singers. When they see that you care, they will start to trust. And when they do that, then they will start to begin to open up and being vulnerable in their music making. And that is when true music making can really start to happen, is when both you and the singers feel like that you can be vulnerable with each other. But if you dive into music head first without really placing an emphasis on building relationships, that can make that creative process much more challenging. You're going to feel like you're pulling them along rather than sort of guiding them and showing them the way, right? So that is tip number two, building relationships. Tip number three in getting your singers to buy in is communicate the why. Now, communicating to your students the why, and what I mean by that is why you do certain things, right? Now, I am the first person to say this can be exhausting. Oh my gosh, this can be so exhausting and so frustrating, having to, you feel like you're explaining yourself, right? But especially when you are new, and this goes for veterans too, if you're trying new things, yeah, it's going to be important to do this as well, explaining the why. You have to remember that your singers are not familiar with you if you are new, or your teaching style, or if you aren't new but you're trying new strategies or new techniques, you know, your singers are just going to be very curious. You know, we haven't done this before. Why are we doing this? It's not that they're going to be questioning you. It's just really that, again, they are curious. And getting back to the idea that it's not personal, right? Don't take it personally or feel like they are questioning you. Now, there may be instances where, yes, they are sort of questioning you a little bit. And so this is a great way to sort of show to them, yes, this is what we're doing, and here is why, and giving them the pedagogical reasons behind what you are doing, and or what your objectives are for that certain strategy or that certain procedure. Yeah. So by doing that, you're going to sort of get away from sort of that questioning, in a way, some of that resentment. You know, if you're new in your position, they might just be resentful that you're doing things maybe a little bit differently than what the other director did, right? Even if it's not a huge change, it's just that you're a different person. Naturally, things are going to happen differently. So to help them, in a way, overcome some of that resentment that they maybe don't even know that they're feeling, explaining the why you are doing certain things can really help with that. Now, you shouldn't have to change your personality or your teaching style to fit what the previous person did, right? This is one change that I don't feel like you should compromise on whatsoever. But I think it's important to remember, we should expect them to be curious and, yes, sometimes confused and, yes, occasionally maybe some resentment. And again, it's not anything personal. It just happens to be you being new. You're different than that previous person. Yeah. Now, if you're a veteran, again, this strategy can be great because once you explain yourself once as far as a warm-up or a strategy or just, again, a logistical way of doing things, you explain it once and then you're done, right? And then you don't have to answer question after question after question, right? So sort of getting that out of the way so that you can get back into the rehearsal and artistic process. So taking that time up front to, yes, just a little bit of time to explain, this is why we are doing things. Communicating that why. That is strategy or tip number three. Tip number four for getting your singers to buy in is finding ways to empower your singers. So this is for newbies, this is for veterans alike, right? If you can find ways to empower your singers by giving them more responsibility in the artistic process, they are more likely to become engaged and invested in the rehearsal process. Now, there are a lot of ways that you can get singers more involved in rehearsal. Here's a couple of ideas. Asking open-ended questions. So not necessarily a yes or no question, yeah, an either or. Asking open-ended questions. And if no one volunteers, you stand there and you wait until someone does volunteer. Yeah, don't let them off the hook. Ask those open-ended questions. Have students serve as vocal models or, you know, quote-unquote guinea pigs in rehearsal. If you sing an excerpt of music and you ask, okay, who feels like they've got this excerpt down really solid? And they're going to raise their hands because they're proud of their work, right? Well, that's a perfect opportunity. You pick out one from each section of the choir. If you've got four sections, have them come up front and have them sing that excerpt as the quartet. And then when they're done, you talk about all the great things that they did, right? And so you ask the people that were listening, because again, they should be active listeners if they're being respectful and good collaborators, good colleagues, get to ask them about what they heard that was really good. Ask them about what they heard that maybe they thought, oh, I'm not doing that. I need to do that now. Right? It's a wonderful way to get some engagement and some collaboration and make some of those singers feel proud about what they're doing, right? And then, you know, if I'm sitting in the chair, I'm like, oh, well, maybe next time he's going to call on me, right? Maybe next time I'm going to be the one that is asked to go up to the front of the room. I better make sure I know my stuff, right? Having students lead warm-ups or having them lead sectionals. You know, if you don't have section leaders, that's fine. Put them into circles in your rehearsal room and just pick one person to sort of facilitate that sectional. It's like, okay, I want you to work on these two pages in your section. Each section is going to work on their own. And so-and-so, here's what I want to, the person that I want to help facilitate that. Yeah, doesn't mean they get to be bossy. It just means that they are the ones that are sort of in charge of keeping the section on track and then also sort of facilitating that collaborative work that's happening in that sectional, right? Or leading warm-ups, yeah? You could even have different singers lead each warm-up, yeah? You could say, okay, you five people, I want you to pick out your favorite warm-up, and then tomorrow you're going to come in and you're going to lead that warm-up. Is it going to take a little extra time? Yeah. But do you think the students are going to be more engaged in warm-ups? Absolutely. Do you think students in the future are going to be like, oh, maybe she's going to ask me to come in and do a warm-up tomorrow? You think they're going to pay attention in warm-ups? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Use rehearsal techniques that give more of the musical decision-making to the singers. So, you know, if you are looking for some fresh rehearsal techniques, I have a ton of resources inside of our Choir Director Corner community membership, which you can find over at choirdirectorcorner.com/membership. One of the things that you get as a member is you get a free PDF. I call it my big guide to rehearsal techniques. And it's literally a list of 75 rehearsal techniques. And so, you know, you can use that list to just refer to, just like, okay, what am I going to do in rehearsal today? And so there's this long list of rehearsal techniques. Finding rehearsal techniques that, again, give the decision-making, give the responsibility to the singers, right? One of the things that I like to do is taking a phrase and having the singers sing it in a different way that shows a different way of phrasing the musical phrase or emphasizing different words in the text. Yeah. And so you can say, okay, this time we're going to sing this phrase differently. I want you to emphasize a different word than what you just emphasized now. Yeah. And you can go through it and say, what's one word that we should try to emphasize a little bit more, and ask your singers, right? And they can give that feedback. And they're like, okay, great, let's do that. And this time, emphasize that word a little bit more than what you were doing previously, right? That's just one idea. But finding some rehearsal techniques that give that opportunity for your singers to have that input. When they know that they have that input in the artistic process, they're going to be so much more engaged because they feel like they feel validated, right? They feel like their input is important. And so when they feel like their input is important, they are going to be more engaged in what the group is trying to do and what you are trying to do as well. Grow their choral vocabulary, right? So here is the next tip, right? Growing their choral vocabulary. So singers being able to evaluate choral performances, both of their own choir and other choirs, is a really important skill. And the ability to accurately and fairly, right, self-evaluate is crucial in identifying strengths as well as weaknesses. And without this part of the process, improvement can be really hard to come by. And I find singers are often way too hard on themselves, right? Maybe you find that as well with your singers. And so that's why I sort of added that accurately and fairly, right? And sometimes you have to help add that dose of perspective into their sort of their self-evaluation, right? Often young singers, I find, are really sort of lacking that, what I call that choral vocabulary to accurately evaluate choral performances. They don't really have a good understanding of what good choirs are supposed to sound like. And because they don't have enough experience maybe listening to choirs, you know? Maybe you've got some singers in your choir that are on Spotify or Apple Music and find that choral music to listen to in their off time. Chances are, I would say, probably not, right? So if you teach in a situation where they are listening to that, consider yourself lucky, yeah? But the great thing is that we live in an age where finding quality choral recordings is really pretty easy. Having your students regularly listen to choral performances and discuss what they are hearing can help you as you try to communicate what aspects of a choral performance are needing to be improved, right? And you really kind of have to hold their feet to the fire on this, right? Because they often will say, oh, well, their tone was really good, or their diction was really good. And as soon as I hear the word good, that is a sign for me to dig deeper. And so, you know, it's almost comical because they know if they say, oh, well, their tone was really good, they know what my response is going to be. My response is going to be, tell me why their tone was good. Go deeper. Why was it good? Describe to me the tone, right? And so it's making sure you're not sort of letting them off the hook, right? Really make them take this opportunity to dig deep. And, you know, literally that music vocabulary, yeah, and the concepts that you talk about in rehearsal, using that language and just getting that practice, because oftentimes they don't have the opportunity or the experience of having that practice, right? And doing this is also a way to use assessment to cover different learning objectives, yeah? Those learning objectives that you have in your music curriculum. This is a great way to meet some of those other objectives that maybe you're not meeting on a regular basis, right? The next tip in getting your singers to buy in, be clear and consistent with expectations. Now, chances are your idea of rehearsal management, as well as your expectations for performances, are going to be different than the other choir directors that your singers have had, right? That only makes sense. This means it's going to be even more important to be clear and consistent with whatever expectations you set. And I think this is really great advice no matter what, again, if you're year one or year 30. Yeah, this is an area for your students where, yes, if you are new to your position, there are going to be some changes, right? By being clear and consistent, it will help the transition if you as the director can really focus on teaching and interacting with your singers from a perspective of empathy and understanding, right? Really be understanding that, yes, they may be frustrated. No one likes change if you're new in this position. Or if you are a veteran and you're starting to use some different expectations, right? I think that's a great thing too. So if you're changing some things, there's going to be some frustration there. So having a perspective of empathy and understanding, but at the same time, being very clear and consistent with your expectations. I think you can do both, right? Nobody wants to be, you know, the bad guy, right? But students really do want to have high and clear expectations, even if they won't admit it to you. And when they see that you're being consistent, they are going to follow your lead. Does it take time? Yes. Does it take patience? Yes. But in some ways, you're always going to have some singers in your choir that they're just waiting for you to break down. They're waiting for you to give in. Yeah. So you've got to be consistent and you've got to be patient, as well as being clear with those expectations. The next tip in getting your singers to buy in, praise in public, correct in private. Now, this might be a phrase that you're familiar with, and I think they're really words to live by if you wish to deal with conflict in a positive manner. I've seen ways where this is really, really gone the wrong way when people choose not to do this, right? So when singers see other singers being praised, that can motivate them to step up and do more as well, right? But correcting students in public can often backfire, causing animosity and distrust, not only with the student that you're interacting with at the time, but the other singers as well. By correcting in private, you have a better opportunity to calmly, that's often my issue, right? Calmly getting your point across, but you can do it without causing embarrassment to the student. This is not only going to help fix the problem, but it's going to improve things moving forward because the student's often going to appreciate not being scolded in front of their peers, right? However, if the correction is not met positively by the student, then that is a situation where you're going to need to follow up with the parent if you're dealing with certain age groups where that is appropriate. And in some serious situations, don't hesitate to follow up with school administration or counselors as well. Tip number 8 in getting your singers to buy in, invest in your beginners. Again, this is a great piece of advice no matter whether you're year 1 or year 20, no matter where you are in your teaching career. No matter what age groups you are working with, one of the best things you can do is make sure you are truly investing in your youngest singers. And by investing, I mean teaching them what's truly important to you, right? Teaching them how things should be done. Again, getting back to those clear and consistent expectations. Now, if you're going into a new position, your oldest singers typically are going to be the most difficult to get on board because they are the most likely to still feel loyalty to that previous director. The hope is that your youngest singers won't quite be so stuck in the ways of your predecessor, and hopefully they will be more willing to buy into your way of doing things, right? In one of my previous teaching positions, it was a 6-12 vocal position, and so I had a 6th grade choir, 7th and 8th grade, and then one high school choir. And going into that position, I had a lot of pushback from some of the students in that high school choir. I was really careful not to change a whole lot. There were a couple of things that procedurally that I was doing differently, but I was trying to keep things very consistent. And again, looking back, it wasn't about me. It was just the fact that I wasn't this other person, right? So what I did was I made it a point to really give as much attention as I could to those two middle school ensembles, that 6th grade ensemble and that 7th and 8th grade ensemble. And by the end of that third year, I had almost doubled the size of the high school choir because I had invested in those younger ensembles. Not that I was neglecting the high school ensemble by any means, but, you know, I think it's easy to sort of get into a mode of giving all of your attention to your most experienced singers, right? I think that's the thing that often happens. So giving those younger singers as much attention as your older ones and really investing in them and helping them grow and helping them see progress, that's something that's going to pay off huge dividends in the future. And it certainly did in that case for me. So investing in your beginners. Finally, tip number 9 in getting your singers to buy in is bring in the cavalry. Now, those of you with kids, have you ever had it happen that you say something to your own child and they just ignore you? But when one of their teachers say the exact same thing, they just treat it like that teacher is just the best thing since sliced bread, right? And you're standing there thinking, I've told this to you a million times and you never listen to me, right? Funny how that works, right? Well, the same thing can happen with your choir. So if you feel like your singers are sort of tuning you out, pun intended, one of the ways you can combat that is to bring in a clinician to work with your group. It could be from a local college or even from a director from, you know, a nearby elementary, middle school, high school, no matter what level you teach, right? You can have a conversation with that guest clinician about some of the difficulties maybe that you've been dealing with. And then these things are things that they can sort of reinforce over the course of their time with your singers, right? In the middle of that flow of rehearsal, those are the things that they can sort of insert. When your singers hear some of the same things from the guest clinician that you have been telling them, that gives you credibility and increases the chances that they're going to start to follow your lead with less objections, right? Well, that is tip number 9. I hope that these tips will help you increase the buy-in that you are getting from your singers. Just remember that patience is a virtue. You probably won't see change happen overnight, but if you stay consistent and you are persistent, you are going to see the culture in your choir room start to turn around. Keep fighting that good fight, my friends. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I'm so appreciative that you're here. If you've been enjoying the podcast, if you could do me a big favor and go over and leave a 5-star rating and a review, this is going to help other choir directors find the podcast, no matter where they are listening to it. So the more that people leave ratings and reviews, the easier it is to find, and then I reach my ultimate goal of helping as many choir directors as possible. So if you've been enjoying the podcast, if you would take a moment to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. Well, that's it for today's episode, my friends. Again, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep being awesome. Are you looking for resources that will save you time and frustration? Want to dive deeper into topics related to your teaching? Then check out the Choir Director Corner community membership over at choirdirectorcorner.com/membership.